Today, we're jumping into a deep dive that I think challenges a really foundational assumption in, well, in almost every intellectual field.
Which is?
That complexity demands an equally complex solution. We're looking at a set of sources that suggest the ultimate truth is actually, you know, hidden in plain sight.
Right. And it's only seen by the unburdened mind.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to frame this using an ancient Japanese concept, Okami Hachimoku.
Which basically means the onlooker's advantage. It's a really simple idea. The person watching a game of Go always sees the next best move way clearer than the players who are sweating over the board.
I love that image. So let's visualize the scene our sources lay out. You have a Go board, and it represents the deepest truths of the universe.
Okay.
And sitting at the table is the frowning academician. You know, think of a Nobel laureate physicist, maybe a celebrated philosopher.
Someone who has poured their entire life into mastering this game. He's hunched over, his brow is furrowed. He's just trapped by the very rules he helped create.
Yes. And then you have the Okame figure, the bystander. The sources describe her as maybe a simple maid or just someone passing by the room.
And she looks at the board, not with this intellectual intensity, but with a kind of casual, almost unimpressed simplicity.
And here's the kicker. She sees 8 moves ahead of the world-class intellectual.
Which is astonishing. And it's not because she has a higher IQ or better processing power.
No, not at all. It's entirely about perspective. So our mission today is really to give you that vantage point, to move you from what the sources call the mire of logic, where the academic is stuck, to the clarity of the hill.
And what's really crucial to understand here is that we aren't dismissing the incredible work this thinker does. The knowledge they generate is immense.
Of course.
The problem isn't their intelligence, it's your methodology. The fatal flaw is focusing so obsessively on the how, you know, the detailed mechanics of the universe that they completely forget to ask about the foundational why.
The blueprint.
The blueprint and the purpose of existence itself. They've lost it.
Okay, let's unpack that blindness. The sources have this great image of the academician leaning so far over the Go board, so far that he mistakes a tiny microscopic scratch on a single slate piece.
A subatomic particle, basically.
Right. He mistakes that scratch for some profound new discovery.
And this is where the real tragicomedy begins. Because to account for this tiny anomaly, this single scratch, he starts piling complexity on top of complexity.
It's like modern physics, right?
Exactly. They generate thousands of incredibly complex equations. They start to, you know, postulate entirely extra dimensions like you see in some versions of string theory.
And it's all just to reconcile this one little blemish with their very limited up-close view of reality.
They're trying to patch a logical gap by building this infinitely complicated scaffolding all around it.
And in the process, they've used up all their mental energy on the mechanics, the fine-tuning of data.
They've become part of the board itself. They can't see the whole game anymore.
The sources have a name for this type, right?
The beloved hard worker, it's so perfect. He's diligently trying to download the entire universe through a 56K dial-up connection.
And he has no idea that a broadband solution is just waiting for him if you just look up from the desk.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the classic examples of these abandoned questions? Let's stick with physics. Scholars know that mass, you know, EMC222, is like a tin can holding this immense energy.
They can describe the mechanism of nuclear fusion perfectly. They know how light elements fuse and release that power.
But if you stop them and ask, okay, why is all that energy packed inside the tin can in the first place?
Where does that immense power source come from?
Exactly. And the prevailing answer gets really circular. It's, well, that's just the nature of mass, or it's been scientifically proven.
They've accepted a phenomenon because they can measure it, but they've just refused to ask the most logical next question about its ultimate source.
This is really the heart of professional blindness. They've decided to live inside what the sources call the fence of common sense.
They only stay within the boundaries of what is provable by direct observation, even if the reason for that observation is a total mystery.
Take electron spin.
A perfect example. So subatomic particles rotate. They've been rotating for billions of years. This perpetual motion requires a constant input of energy.
Logically, it has to.
It has to. Yet mainstream physics just kind of dismisses this energy input. They label the rotation an inherent property or a ground state.
Which is. I mean, it's a quiet admission that they've found a perpetual motion machine.
It is, but instead of asking why it keeps going without an external fuel source, they just treat the mystery as a final answer. They've confused describing the how with explaining the why.
They're drowning in the details.
Completely. They've lost the capacity for simple, foundational wonder.
And it's at this exact moment that our bystander, the Okami, walks up to the table.
She's not frustrated. She's not sweating. She sees the whole picture.
And she offers that simple, casual observation.
She just points and says, "Excuse me, sir, but the board. It isn't even square, it's circular. If you just flip it over, the game is finished in a second."
And what's the predictable, almost comedic response from our frowning academician?
Oh, it's rage, pure intellectual fury. "Silence, how dare you? How dare someone so simple assume they can possibly fathom the staggering complexity of decades of specialized research?"
This isn't a game, it's my life's work.
Exactly. And that reaction, that protective anger, is the whole problem. The reason he's trapped is because of the fence of professional dogma that he spent his entire life building around himself.
He builds his own logical cage.
He did. And we can actually trace the architecture of this cage through modern Western philosophy. The sources argue it all started with a simple, short-sighted idea from Descartes.
The mind-body dualism.
The mind-body dualism. By separating the mind, the spiritual, from the physical body, the mechanical world, he essentially hammered in the first fence post.
So why was that so fatal for everything that came after? Mm-hmm. I mean, on the surface, it sounds logical to separate the brain from the body.
Mm-hmm. Because it immediately forced all intellectual inquiry down a dead end. A dead end of human-centric focus. If the physical world is just a machine separate from us, the observer, then we become limited to just observing mechanics.
Instead of understanding the underlying unity.
Right. Everything becomes filtered through human perception, which inherently limits your ability to grasp cosmic reality.
And then Immanuel Kant came along and basically put up the barbed wire on that fence.
He absolutely did. Kant defined the operating system for this intellectual cage with his concept of the a priori. He argued that true ultimate reality, what he called the thing in itself, is permanently inaccessible to us.
Why?
Because our knowledge is inherently limited by universal human frameworks. Time, space, causality.
So he didn't just accept the fence. He said the fence was a non-negotiable universal law.
Precisely. He built a logical wall and told everyone that true cosmic reality is forever beyond our reach. But if you connect this back to our larger scope, Kant's a priori isn't a universal law of the cosmos.
It's just a human default setting.
That's a great way to put it. It's a powerful but limited wisdom rooted in our limited physical and temporal scale, our biology. It's not the cosmic blueprint.
And this is where the Okam, the bystander, steps back in. She can see past this fence because she's accessing what the sources call the hyperspeed digital line of Katakamuna.
Which gives her the true blueprint.
Okay, so let's shift perspective now. Let's get to that clarity she has. We need to establish the system she's seeing.
So, if the thinker is only seeing the phenomenal physical world, the AMA, which is the surface of the Go board, the bystander is seeing something else. She's also seeing the latent world, the CAMU.
And CAMU is?
It's the invisible infinite informational source, and AMA is the tangible, observable reality that emerges from it.
Okay, so the Okami doesn't see isolated particles on a board. She sees a fluid system. Everything is connected to this infinite source.
Exactly.
So how does this redefine the mysteries that the academic was stuck on? Let's start with mass and energy.
From this new perspective, mass, or Mari, is simply the fixation point of information. It's the specific place where energy flows from the infinite source, KMU, into our observable reality, AMA.
And energy itself.
Energy is the raw pressure or force from that source. The system calls it Ka.
So mass isn't just energy. It's energy that's being held in a localized high-density state.
Precisely. And it's being held back by a physical stake, or kui, that tin can full of immense power. It isn't full because the can made the energy. It's full because the can is a point of resistance, holding back the ceaseless flow from the KMU layer.
Wow. Okay, that makes nuclear fusion suddenly seem very, very simple. When scientists fuse light elements and all that massive energy floods out.
They are simply rearranging the physical stakes, the kui. They're breaking the resistance point, and that allows the previously held back energy of the latent world to just flood into the phenomenal world.
The power was never created in the collision.
No, it was merely released from its localized state. And that answers the fundamental why.
That is a total intellectual rehabilitation.
Yeah.
It's a complete reframing. So what about the electron spin? That perpetual rotation with no visible energy input.
Right. If particles aren't isolated stones, how does the Okami see them?
Yeah.
She sees them as faucets. They are conduits connected directly to the infinite battery of the latent world. Their rotation isn't the result of their existence.
That's the process of them existing.
Yes. It's the fluid flow converting commu potential into AMA reality. That continuous rotation is the absolute proof that the energy source is infinite and constantly supplying power.
This link to infinity is so key because you mentioned earlier that physicists actually stumble upon this infinite source, but they treat it like an error in their math.
This is where it gets really compelling. In advanced theoretical physics like quantum electrodynamics or in calculations involving black holes, they frequently run into the mathematical result of infinity, an infinite value.
Which breaks their models.
It completely breaks their models. It signals that their limited, phenomenal world mathematics, their AMA logic, has just made contact with the infinite potential of KMU.
But instead of seeing it as a signal,
instead of interpreting this as pure data, as a signal that the source is real, they see it as a theory breakdown. They use a complex process called renormalization to mathematically purge that infinity, to hide it effectively, just so their local calculations work out neatly.
They're literally throwing away the proof of the ultimate source just to keep their spreadsheets tidy.
It's unbelievable. They're so committed to staying inside the fence that they actively ignore the signal screaming that the fence isn't real.
And this failure to grasp the deep structure, the KMU and AMA layers, It's contaminated more than just physics.
Oh, absolutely. It even contaminates our understanding of ancient wisdom. The sources point out how Laozi's teachings were, well, fatally contaminated by centuries of translators who lacked this deeper cosmological understanding.
What was the key essence they missed?
The true core of Laozi is a phrase, Genno Mata Gen. It refers directly to this profound principle of the two deep layers of reality, the KMU and the AMA.
But since commentators didn't get that structural cosmology,
they defaulted to focusing on the easier, more immediate parts of the texts.
So they turned this profound cosmology into what, just a set of ethical guidelines?
Exactly. They zeroed in on the concrete action and behavioral advice, you know, how to govern wisely, how to live humbly, because that stuff made sense inside the human-centric fence.
They missed the entire cosmological origin of that wisdom.
An origin which requires what the texts call pure intuition to pass through. And that's the intuition the simple, unimpressed Wakame has. It's why she sees the truth so simply.
Which brings us to the logical climax of this whole intellectual comedy. Our frowning academician, totally frustrated, decides to use a high-performance AI to calculate the ultimate move.
But the AI is forced to operate entirely within the constraints of Kant's a priori. It's stuck inside the cage.
The academic is feeding it millions of past games, telling it to navigate with a GPS.
Blissfully unaware that the map he gave it is completely upside down.
So the AI is destined to hit the exact same logical wall he did.
The agonizing logical struggle, as the sources call it. And just like with renormalization, the academic sees the AI's failure and just dismisses it as a computational error, or maybe not enough training data.
But for the bystander on the hill.
For her, that computational failure is the universe's act of mercy. It's a definitive signal screaming, stop, you have reached the edge of a board that doesn't actually exist in the ultimate reality.
Okay, so if we, the listener, step away from the board and think about the implications, The goal isn't just to be the unassuming maid who points out an error every now and then.
No, not at all. The goal is to gain the perspective of the architect. By mastering the blueprint, by understanding the relationship between the latent world, KMU, and the phenomenal world, AMA, you gain the authority to redefine the entire game.
And what does that redefinition look like in practical, intellectual terms?
It means the recovery of true originality. It's an intellectual rehabilitation away from these old, limited perspectives. When you substitute the logic of the latent world, the infinite source, into our stagnant reality, you start to see the difference between truly valuable knowledge and mere accumulated information.
And this reframes concepts like creativity, which the old academic model always struggled with.
Absolutely. Thinkers like Freud, for instance, who reduced originality to a pathological emotional history. He suggested creativity is just a rearrangement of trauma or past experiences.
That's a very limiting framework.
It's incredibly limiting. The perspective from the hill shows you that true originality isn't just rummaging through the finite warehouse of your personal history. It's the ability to tap into the infinite blueprint.
It's seeing the fundamental unity of the system, that the warmth of our planet, the glow of the stars.
It's all sustained by that ceaseless force, that Ka, flowing from the latent world. It confirms the universe isn't running down, it's constantly being fed.
So we've moved from the expert chasing microscopic scratches on a stone to the architect overlooking the entire cosmic blueprint.
And the true act of profound thought isn't the grinding labor. It's a kind of intellectual surrender. You surrender the heavy, limited stones of complex logic for a simple, profound truth.
So the choice for you listening is ultimately pretty simple. Will you continue to frown and sweat, chasing a next move that never ends all inside that same old fence? Or will you stand up, take a step back, and realize that the universe you saw while pressing your face against the board is entirely different from the elegant, simple structure you can see from the hill?
And the only real question left to explore after that is how this logic, the logic of Katakamuna, defines thought or spirit, not as some byproduct of matter, but as an informational force that actively participates in and shapes the very emergence of physical reality itself.